Well, a very good evening. You're welcome to another episode of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. I hope we find you well. And what is not to love about this evening? Kingdom into round 3 of the men's, a home quarterfinal in the ladies. And the sun is shining here in the window of our Tralee studio this evening. Hope all is well. I hope you're enjoying World Cup fever, football fever, everything else that's going on. It's been a nice little weekend of sports, to be fair, and we'll have all that chat about the men's and the ladies throughout the next 2 hours until 8 o'clock, and then we'll have a little bit on Flesk Fest as well, of course, the big one in Glenflesk at GAA Club. We'll be chatting to a few members there about what's upcoming for the people of Glenflesk and East Kerry a little later on in the programme as well. Any views on the draw, the date for the game, anything from the Kildare game as well? Our lines are now open. 083 300 3300 is our text or WhatsApp number, or you can call 066 712 3666, or you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. Must say a big thanks to Amgen and the Irish Open. Had a fantastic day out during the week in Doombeg. Lovely to get the invite up to play the course and to see everything set up for the Irish Open, which is coming up in September as well. Really enjoyable experience during the week, and looking forward to that one, as I said, in September. But we'll kick right off back into the football. Of course, Kerry victorious over Kildare in both the men's and the ladies. We'll start with the men's. Of course, 322 to 17 points victors in round 2B. That sets up a mouth-watering tie. The last two All-Ireland champions, Kerry and Armagh, in Killarney next Saturday, confirmed for 4 o'clock in Fitzgerald Stadium, if you haven't heard the news during the sports news there as well. So real exciting times, and we'll be chatting a bit about the draw and a bit about the weekend as well. Liam Brosson, John Kennedy and Andrew Moynihan join me in studio. Liam, job done and in good style as well, and the performance we probably wanted after Donegal as well.
Yeah, Ivan, a very professional performance, to be fair, by the Kerry men. You could say from the word go, even from the warm up, and John was beside me above, and you could see there was a bit of an edge about him. No, we were hoping we get a response, and look, we won't get carried away. Kildare were demoted down to Division 3 in the National League, got a good kind of a dusting against Galway, so we weren't really going in as supporters, you could say, too afraid. But at the same time, we wanted to see a performance in Kerry. And what I liked about it is that we just didn't take the leg off the accelerator. No, 322 when you're playing the lower division teams. And what does it for me really was when the great Dublin team were going well, they were putting teams like that, putting high scores. And we did that as well the weekend. No, and I think great to see the boys back as well, the guys that were carrying a bit of needles and a few injuries, getting game time into them. You know, so I thought our two midfielders, our goalkeeper was excellent with the kickouts. So overall, I think Jack and the management team would be very happy with the overall performance.
Mm-hmm, 100%. John, look, there was a lot of talk, I suppose, during the week of a potential banana skin, and you know, we're kind of looking now, and Liam say, you know, respect to Kildare, they were a team that went down to Division 3, and small bit of worry, but I think, was that mainly coming out of the Donegal game and seeing how Kerry would kind of fire back? And I think by Thursday evening we saw the team coming out, there was maybe a lot more confidence going up to Kildare, but it was a potential banana skin, so really good to see Kerry dispatch Kildare the way they did.
Yeah, even I suppose a lot of people thinking back to last year with Meath and the injuries, and we didn't know who would be playing, but as you said, when the team was selected, but Kildare, you know, very disappointing, you'd have to say, you know, that I think there was rumblings during the week at a county board meeting about not too happy with Brian Flanagan and his management team, and, you know, the state of Kildare football. The timing of that left a lot to be desired, I think. Not good going into any championship game. They were demoted down to Division 3 coming out of the Tailteann Cup. But from our point of view, it was, you know, a professional job, really. Like Liam said, we saw it, we were watching the warm up. Kerry came out, they were professional, they did their job, they were focused. You hadn't the same intensity or focus in the Kildare side, and we took up, starting with Shane Murphy. He was absolutely outstanding. The kickouts were superb. And we've often said, you know, a goalie is only as good as the movement outside. But I thought our two midfielders were unbelievable, in fairness. You know, Joe started very well, Joe O'Connor, Dermot O'Connor, and Paddy. We had him under pressure. We kicked a few wides, but we set down a marker and we continued that. And to get game time into the lads, you know, I suppose Brian O'Big Lake, it was his first start. Great to see Gavin White coming on again, Joe Connor starting, you know, Paddy getting more game time, and a worry maybe, did he get a knock coming off? We're not so sure. And then Paul Gainey again. It augurs well for next weekend because we need all those. The downside, I suppose, is the lack of Shawnee Shea. And, you know, coming out after Liam, a lot of the people were, will he be ready for next week? That's the question people are asking. We need Shawnee Shea going well. And but look, great victory, professional job, and a good score as well, and ran the bench, which was very important.
Yeah. And we'll take you back to the very start, I suppose. We saw the named 15, the one change for that was poor Tony Rossengosta dropped out for Paul Gainey. Paul, really, really impressive as well. You surprised that Tony didn't get the start after, I suppose, what he'd done in the games previous after coming on and kind of making a good impact off the bench?
Yeah, probably would have been. At the time, I maybe accepted maybe a knock in the warm-up or in the lead-up in a couple of days. Probably would have expected Tony to start, but I suppose, as we often say here, we don't know what's going on inside in training. And it was great to see Paul Gainey make a start once again, following a couple of weeks out. Obviously missed the Munster final and the Donegal game. Tony came in, gave a lovely crossfield ball, I think it was to Sean O'Brien there near the end, definitely inserted himself into the game. But that's what you want now at this stage. You have Tony Brosnan and Paul Gainey now fighting for a spot. Tony will be well aware that he can definitely claim that number 13 spot for the Armagh game at the weekend, and I've said it time and time again here that he knows the park like the back of his hand. It's nearly a home ground to him, and wouldn't be surprised to see maybe a Tony Brosnan start at the weekend. We know he's well capable of it. He's our third top scorer so far in the championship, after David and Paddy at Super Brothers. He has 9 points so far in our opening four games, so definitely a man well capable of getting the start. But as you said, Paul Gainey, good performance from Paul. After coming back, kicked a few nice points, and a great target man inside, I thought, in that first half particularly. There was some great direct football. I think Paddy gave him in a ball at one stage, and I think he was going for goal once or twice, but got 2 points in the end. So I think overall happy, and it's good to see that there's that bit of competition now in the forward line with lads returning.
Yeah, no, definitely. Liam, I suppose the half time, you know, Kerry were looking good at that stage. Kildare was still in the mix, but Kerry really used the win to their advantage. I mean, you kind of have the chances sitting back and watching the game back and looking at it again. Kerry's use of the win, you kind of felt maybe at half time if Kildare came out and used it to their advantage the way that Robinson was kicking as well, that the game was far from over. But Kildare used it to their advantage, or Kerry did rather, and Kildare didn't.
It did, yeah, and I think that's that weapon, the two pointer. No, Kerry did take advantage of that in the first half with the wind, and it was a funny enough wind because it kind of died for the ladies a small bit, and then it picked up for maybe the last 10 or 15 minutes, and then it kind of held for throughout the men's match heading down into the scoreboard end. But Kerry just came out, and like Andrew said there, it was their kicking out of defence, like Shane Murphy as well when he put the ball on the tee. No, and I suppose that was the one gripe we had with him through the National League, that we thought he wasn't quick enough putting it on the tee. But by God, last day, like the Kildare boys weren't even turned around to run back, and he had the ball on the tee, and he was hitting Mark O'Shea, Sean O'Brien on the run, to know guys like that. And when you have targets now as well, we talked about Donegal and their big men and the way Jim McGuinness used it. Now you could see Jack in the management, but they have Dermot O'Connor and Joe O'Connor flanking the two wings, and then you have Mark and Sean O'Brien in the middle, four big men there, you know. So now obviously we're going to get tougher tests, but I thought like every ball that was in the sky lasted, the boys were very comfortable underneath it. And not only that, then the breaks, Breno Begley was fantastic for his first game, John Randy in the back. No, kicked the two pointer, he kicked 3 points altogether. But Mike Breen, Graham, you know, was attacking up the field as well. No, and it was just that foot pass which we all liked. No, because it's a tight field. No, I suppose the crowd make it look tight anyway. But the way Kerry were using that diagonal pass and the foot pass out of defence to the midfield and into the full forward line, you know, it really kind of upscuttled Kildare right in the first half. But it was, look, and no more than what we expected, because look, we have good kickers, and I think if we're given time and space, they will hit the scores.
Mm-hmm. A real urgency to Kerry's play, John, right throughout. You kind of see that as Liam mentioned there with the quick kickouts and kind of getting the ball on the tee, and just that kind of urgency to go up and get scores and to win the ball back and get another score. It's probably something important. It's probably a good trial run for what we'll have against Armagh as well the weekend, getting that sort of you know, into your play, and even kind of capitalized really by Gavin White's goal at the very end, that they weren't going to give up even right towards the very end. They were staying going for the full 70 plus minutes, which was important.
Yeah, I agree with what Liam said there earlier. You know, you put down a marker with these teams, it's you know, you keep going to the end, and I think the guys coming in trying to make a mark, that adds to that as well. One move typified the Kerry attitude the last 30 minutes. Was Joe Connor. He sprinted about 40 yards, dispossessed the Kildare man. We got a score above him. But like, that was incredible by Joe. The game was done. It was over. There was no question about it. But another guy might have, you know, conserved the energy and left him off. But no, he didn't. And that typified the attitude we had. You know, we were really sharp. We were covering for one another. And, you know, the one threat that Kildare had in the first half, or one of the threats, was Jack Robinson. He got a lot of space. They overcrowded the stand side and left the terrace side open for him. He was on it, coming on the loop, the kicker. And he was closed down in the second half. You know, the attitude of Kerry, you know, their fitness. And as I said, great to see the guys, you know, Brian O'Bigley coming back after, you know, the sojourn with Ungale tucked. His first start, I think, Liam, wasn't it?
And
what a display he gave. Like, you know, he was simply outstanding. But all over the field, we were far superior. But it was the attitude more than our superiority that I was impressed with. From start to finish, they stayed going. There was no let up.
Yeah, no let up whatsoever. From a Kildare perspective, Andrew, their championship has come to an end. Derek Irwin, top scorer, Jack Robinson, kicked a lovely couple of scores. They've him back from playing with New York last year as well. Of course, beat Kerry in the minors last week, as we were chatting on last week's show. So for Kildare, I mean, it's probably still a sort of a building thing, but you kind of wonder when's their chance going to come, because you looked at Leinster this year as probably one of the weakest coming into the of Leinster championships, and now out after two losses in this as well. So questions to be asked, I'd imagine, for Kildare.
Yeah, and look, I'd be friendly enough with a few people from there, and look, there's a building jealousy, I think, in Kildare from the last couple of years, looking at neighbouring counties like Westmeath, Meath and Louth, all getting their day in the sun. Louth now, look at them over the last couple of weeks, the days that they've had out beating Dublin and Armagh yesterday. And look, we think of the big Leinster counties, and after Dublin, usually Kildare would be that second in line. And what didn't help, and we mentioned, John just mentioned it there earlier, the kind of the chat around the county board last week around Brian Flanagan in the lead up to a knockout game where you're welcoming the All-Ireland champions to Newbridge, that it's not the week to be having that conversation. Happy out, have it this week, but having that in the week up leading up to a game is fairly stupid, to be honest. And just from the start, that kind of just typified maybe their attitude, I suppose, leading up to the game. And fantastic, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, they defeated us in the minor grade. They have had great success at that underage and under 20 title a couple of years ago, and ACBS have been knocking about for years now. They won the Hogan Cup, of course, over the Sim in 2022. So it's a bit like Tyrone with the success. The two counties are just trying to get that in. Maybe Tyrone are getting greater joy, and Kildare are just trying to integrate that into senior. Down a couple of bodies, I noticed Jack McKevitt wasn't there at all the last day, and he would have been playing a good bit for them over the last year or two. He would have been on that 2022 NAIS CBS team. So plenty to work on, whether they stick with Brian Flanagan or not. I probably would be in favour of sticking with him. I think he is at least for another year anyway, but definitely interesting times awaiting, considering I think that second half they would have been very disappointed with how it ended up for them.
Yeah. Liam, I suppose we often hear Ambrose talk about the spread of scores and getting forwards on the board. He's always ticking them off until he can get all six on the board. A really good spread of scores, I think 10 in all. And, you know, we've mentioned this, you know, a couple of times throughout the league as well, and when the young lads were coming through. But it's always nice to see different players get scores and that kind of chance to give the crowd a fist bump and everything. It's just a good confidence builder in a game where, you know, you've won it well now. In the end, you're lucky that there's so many people got on the scoreboard. Always important as well.
It is, yeah. And I suppose a lot of that came because we didn't take the leg off the accelerator. It's very easy, you know, to slow down the game and be patient and all this. But, like, it goes with this weekend as well against Armagh. That's going to be 100 miles an hour up and down the field. You know, that's going to be a high-scoring match as well. I can't see it. Because we see the results in the last couple of months. Any team that tries to go defensive, they're wasting their time. Mm-hmm. No, and Kerry went out last day, and no, they just hit the ground running. No, Joe Connor with his two-pointer, Paddy Clifford with a two-pointer. Then Dermot got his goal in the second half. To Paul Gainey, 2 points. David, no, in the first half, I suppose he was He was involved. He kicked his 2 points, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't doing the David Clifford thing. You know, you could see you were only waiting for it to happen. It only takes seconds, and then all of a sudden he ends up 1-4. No, so and look, that's just the genius that he is. And now Dylan Gainey didn't chip in with 4 points again. Yeah. So we are getting scorers, and our half back line Graham got 2, and Brino Begley got 3 points. No, so yeah, we're clipping away there nicely. Mike Breen kind of is holding number 6 there as well, I think. Mm-hmm. With Breen and with Graham beside him, he's very comfortable holding then as well. The boys kind of attack and Mike holds, and I thought our full back line. So was the first 15 minutes, all right, we were kind of saying, who's marking Jack Robinson? We kind of fell asleep when we were kind of when they were overloading one part of the field. We were slow at getting over when they transitioned, but we kind of copped on to that in the second half. But against better teams, you'd want to be kind of copping on to it a bit quicker. Mm-hmm. No, he'd 5 points kicked before we realised we got to mark this fella. No, so I think there's still small little learnings, I think, the Jack and the management team will be doing this week. All it'll probably be video analysis. You can't do nothing. No. You can't do nothing on the field. You know, it's only kind of go through things. That's the only training you can do this week and recover. But small things like that. But I think Kerry are in a good place, because Paul Murphy is well a guy we have to mention. You know, and what I liked about Paul when he came on, and he always had this thing with Shane Ryan. You know, when we were under pressure to get a kick out, he always made that run, and he was doing it above the last day when he came on again. I think Shane Murphy picked him out once or twice with the nice handy, and Paul does that. Bring great experience, and he'll be a good addition there inside in the back line as well.
Yeah, John, another mention to Shane Murphy. I mean, you know, a lot of people talk about kickouts, and maybe it wasn't our strongest point. And obviously, with Shane Ryan out, Shane Murphy the number one at the moment, and really, really good performance. Thinking, as we mentioned, he was quick to get the ball on the tee. He kind of, you know, they were spread out between going out to the left and going out to the right. And we know how important the kickout is in the game now. So, kudos due to the Croaksman, I think.
No doubt about that. And I think, look, Shane, you know, when you put on the Kerry jersey, you're in the spotlight. He came in for a lot of discussion, we'll call it, more than criticism. You know, he was replacing a man that was an iconic figure in Kerry football. He'd done so well, Shane Ryan. Very difficult to come in and go into his footsteps, but he's done it really well. Mm-hmm. You know, different times during the league, we often said here, you know, that was it the movement outside? Was it the quickness of the kick out? But certainly the last day, you know, he's been growing. He's been going up along the ladder, but the last day was his best display. Really accomplished. The kickouts were excellent, you know, and he varied it. He wasn't afraid to go short. No, no. And I think after half time, how sharp he was, we said it, Liam, the game just started a high ball, and I think it was Derek Irwin. The ball hopped, hit a stretch. It could have been top of the net, or it could have been over the crossbar, but he was really sharp. Mm-hmm. And that transfers out to the full back line, into the half back line as well. And delighted for him, because we know from watching him in club football for the last number of years, he's a top class keeper. There's no question about it. And he'd be on any inter-county team of the country. Delighted for him. But I think overall, like Liam said, you know, really positives. But not getting carried away either, because let's not forget, this is a Division 3 team. You know, and going back to what you said to Andrew, Kildare are underachievers, to be fair. We've seen it for the last 10, 15 years. Quality players. We've seen it underage level. And Liam, myself, said, where did that guy go to? You know, you see what Meath have done, what Louth have done, Westmeath now. You know, there's a pep in the step there, and they have worked hard. Like Louth with the whipping boys a number of years ago, there's certainly no pushover now, and what they did yesterday certainly opened people's eyes. And Kildare have that potential as well. And I hope that Brian Flanagan and Davy Burke and these guys are kept, because, you know, they're going in the right direction. It's going to take a lot of hard work, but their day will come too.
Yeah, as you said, the Miners with a good win as well, and that's sure to boost confidence in the younger players. Andrew, before we go to the break, we mentioned a good few of the lads coming back as well, and obviously Gavin White got a good cameo towards the end, and got the last goal of the game as well, or the last score. It's nice to see him back in goal scoring form as well. He's a man we need fit for the remainder of this championship, and again, so nice to see so many of them back this week.
Yeah, All-Ireland final man of the match. Like, it's fantastic to have Gavin back. That day when the team was announced for the Donegal game and he wasn't in the 26, I think that kind of raised a few eyebrows, people getting a bit worried. But fantastic again to have him back the last day, and it looked like he had missed the second really, and a brilliant goal at the end. Great assist by David. I think David ended up assisting a goal and a point, which is maybe an underrated asset in his game too. But Gavin, we're well aware of like what Gavin can do, and in particular now, even you can add him to the already kind of a competition for the full back line. You've Mike Breen, Graham O'Sullivan, Gavin White, Armin Heinrich. Hopefully you might have a Tom O'Sullivan coming back in a couple of weeks weeks too. That's great. All of a sudden there's a bit of depth building, and we always said that if we have the lads back there is and get to Croke Park, that's where you will see this Kerry team flourish. And having Gavin White, will we see him start the next day? That'll be a conversation for the management throughout the week now. He's definitely a man that did plenty of damage. He had a fantastic game versus Armagh last year in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. I think he assisted 4 points. So definitely one to keep an eye on during the week. Great to have Gavin back.
Yeah, it's almost funny how the playbook is almost playing out the same way, where we had limited options, but Yonet, who came in and did really well throughout the championship, and now we're starting to get some of the big hitters, the more experienced lads back in as well towards the latter end of the championship. We have to take a break. If you're following the World Cup, 62 minutes gone there. It's still scoreless between Spain and Cape Verde. Of course, Pico Lopez of Shamrock Rovers in action. He's playing centre-back for Cape Verde and doing very, very well for his country at the moment, and I believe, if my stats are right, he's the only man to ever play against Kerry FC and play in a World Cup. We go for a break. You're listening to Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme. Plenty of your texts coming in, 083 300 3300, or you can WhatsApp as well, same number there, or you can call 066 712 3666, or you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. A couple we'll get to now, and we'll move on to the draw then for next Saturday. Why is David Clifford playing full game when he's not needed to the end, risking injury with a question mark? Don't think I'd like to take him off, Liam, would you?
No, I'd be slow. I don't think David would want to be taken off either.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it is a sort of thing where we have so many injuries, a sort of a thing of where you feel like you might be starting to watch a few lads, but I suppose no game is over. And to be fair, John, with this one, I know we got the late goals that really put kind of a gloss on it, but Kildare got 70. I know they kicked a couple of two-pointers late on as well, but it wasn't really fully over for a long stretch of the imagination. We're probably making it out that it was, but game was kind of, it was never fully done for a long stretch of it.
You couldn't see Kildare beating us, but they were still tagging on. You know, particularly I think Derek Irwin in the second half, he kicked a couple of great two-pointers. You know, they worked extremely hard, but, you know, Kerry were never in doubt, and you know, the lads coming in and all. And I can see that your listener's point there about David, you know, the worry of an injury, but I, like Liam said, I don't think David would be too happy to come off.
But the game, the way the game has gone now, Ivan, 8 points. Before we got the goal, there was only 8 points.
That's exactly where I'm coming from.
That is not a massive lead in football, in inter-county football anymore, or any football.
Against
the wind.
It only came to a blunder from Kildare's kick out. It was the next score. David got the goal to make it 120 to 12 points. That was the killer. But
yeah, like
until then,
it was still wide open.
I suppose, Ivan, the other thing, the difference between these teams is there's good footballers in every county, but the intensity and the level that Kerry are at.
The pace.
You know, we're the top two or three teams in the country. And, you know, that showed the pace. You know, Gavin White coming in, going through the middle, accelerating, and they just couldn't do anything about it.
The quick thinking then as well. Exactly. Like natural, just the natural quick thinking football.
Yeah, it was a very kind of snappy game as well, wasn't it, from a Kerry perspective. Hi, Ivan and all. Hope Kerry keep up their winning ways for next weekend and they go on to the quarterfinals. The boys need to practice their two-pointers as the match is played at the weekend. We're all one with two-pointers. And also congratulations to the ladies who won their match at the weekend. That's from Eilish in Tralee. That is a good point, Andrew. And kind of utilising the two-pointers, and we've seen it probably right across the games. But you know, it's funny, and we've mentioned this I think around this stage last year as well, where the league, it's wet pitches, windy conditions, hard to kind of take the two-pointers on. And now you're at a stage of the championship where two-pointers are a huge advantage to you when you can kick them. Okay, we had a small bit of wind in Kildare, but you'd be hopeful that both teams can kick two-pointers in either half as well, and they really do add to the game and the excitement of it. And no more so, I suppose, than Louth Armagh. We saw the two-point effort at the very end, but probably wouldn't have taken on that chance if there was no such thing as a two-pointer. So definitely valuable, and Kerry, to be fair, did use them to their advantage, and we know the strength Kerry have with two-pointers.
Yeah, it's incredible. And like I was only thinking back to around this time last year, a year ago yesterday was the Tullamore Meath, and I think leading up to that sort of game, or
remind us of that.
We had a busy show this night last year, so
and I think around that time David Clifford and Sean O'Shea would have accounted for more than half of our two-pointers. We only had two scores. Now this year We've added on Paddy, Dylan Gainey, Brian O'Bugliac and Joe. Brian in particular in the first half was a fantastic two-pointer. Lads in the terrace beside me were confusing him for David when he took it on the far side. And look, we know Brian's well capable. He kicked four in the intermediate final versus Fossa in the first half last year. So I think even you saw it in the club season, as the year went on in the first year of the new rules, teams are realising how valuable these two-pointers are, and it's great to have shooters like that. Great to see Paddy get on the board and one at the weekend. None from David, but Joe as well. And in the first half, when we knew we had the wind, we tapped on those couple of two-pointers, and as you said, when push comes to shove, building up that sort of lead and getting the two-pointers, it'll be vital, particularly at the weekend coming up against a crowd like Armagh. I think we could definitely have five or six between Shawnee and David against Armagh in that quarterfinal last year. I watched the highlights again earlier, so, and Armagh weren't really prepared for that either that day. So a different ball game this year, and expect to see many two-pointers on Saturday.
Yeah, most definitely. Afternoon all. Firstly, great travelling support in Kildare. Very obvious work done on kickouts. The speed off the tee was impressive kickout wise. The offensive setup and high press was very effective. Kildare simply had no answer. Our halfback line of Graham, Mike Breen and Brian O'Bugley were both the defensive line and offensive launch pad. Our four big men across the middle will cause all remaining teams trouble. My headache is where to start, White. I'm sure to accommodate in defence with a possible 40-yard berth with Paddy in the corner for Paul making sense for me. This would also help Murphy as a kick-out target, all returning players showing form. As for Armagh, they're coming off a loss with a 6-day turnaround. We're coming off it with a win with momentum. Will be a close one to call, and that's from Tom in North Kerry, who is forever a good reader of the game. And it's funny, we were actually chatting off-air. It's almost like the microphones were on as to where you could slot in Gavin White, Liam, if he was to start in this team, because at the moment that half-back line looks so strong.
Yeah, and I suppose if you are trying to put it, someone will have to lose out. And it looked, obviously, when you're trying to pick a fella, and it's very hard because of the way players are going, it's very hard to remove a fella. Even out of the back line, you're looking at guys like Svevin Looney, Jason Foley, Dylan Casey. No, they've done nothing wrong. No, Mike Breen, I think, is a stay. He has to stay centre back. The way Gavin moves, you still have to have a fella that's going to hold. No, so yeah, it'll be interesting. There is a couple of options we've discussed. We won't say it on air who we'd be dropping out like that. But there is a couple of options you could use. All right, but isn't it a nice headache to have?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And like that, with returning players, you know, it is very hard to kind of go up the jersey. And it's as I said, John, already, it's starting to play out kind of a small bit like last year with when we came up to the Meath game. We were. I wouldn't say weak, that's the wrong thing to say, but we're missing some of you know, some of the bigger lads through injury, and then all of a sudden they start coming back in, and we were kind of having that argument here as to who you'd have to drop out to bring them back in, because lads were kind of showing face again. So great complaint to have when lads do come back from injury, and like that, hopefully, fingers crossed and touch wood here in studio, that they do stay fit.
Yeah, it's great to see the lads coming back, because you know, you could sense it in the crowd when Gavin came out on the sideline the last day and took off the bib. Like there was a buzz in the crowd, and that's what you want. You want your best. You want the competition for places. You want your best 15, and it, you know, as we've said before, you need more than 15 now. So it's fantastic for the players themselves, because some of these lads have gone through a terrible time with injuries and a difficult time, and everyone wants to be playing. It's about patience, and you have to say that the management team have handled it very well, and we seem to be coming. The lads that were involved in the 26th the last day seem to be just ready for it. The guys that weren't, the Tom Sullivan's, like Andrew said there, and Shawnee Shea, we're not so sure, but it's great to see the lads. The guy in the 26th the last day, every one of them, they're available for selection next week, which is good.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Everyone coming through unscathed, as far as we're aware. I think Paddy, there was talks that after, but I think he was a light
a
limp,
maybe
after a bit of precaution, I think. Yeah, I think, you know, if you get kind of the bones of 50, 55 minutes out of Paddy, there's still plenty of firepower to come on as well. Evening lads, Kerry are starting to motor, asking for a friend. How do you get to bring on all four subs? I know where this one's going. This is on the Kerry FC game on Friday night, of course, beating Athlone Town, but Athlone Sloan made four subs at four different intervals against the rules. Yeah. How a Ford official can manage to allow that, I'll never know. Interesting to see what happens from here, because I'd imagine if the game is to be forfeited, that goes to a 3-0 win for Kerry, as opposed to the 1-0 win that they did have on the return back from the break. It was kind of a strange moment, because you never see kind of rules kind of going wrong, especially when it's down to an official kind of making the mistake. So be interesting to see what happens. Goal difference can be valuable come the end of the season, but nonetheless, Kerry FC getting the victory. But a bad mistake to make at you know, that sort of a level with referees and Ford officials, enough of them there not to be making those sorts of mistakes. What do panellists think? Would it be true to say the blanket defence hasn't gone away, and is this contributing to the amount of hand passing we're being exposed to? Interesting one, John. Blanket defence, do you think it hasn't gone away just yet?
Depends on the teams, Ivan, and like Liam said a while ago there in the programme, you'll be exposed.
Yeah.
You can only do that for so long.
Against the good teams.
You know, you can park the bus, obviously you have to have three up. But it's pace and it's kick passing like Kerry do, and to isolate the guys inside. I think, you know, we might see some of it next weekend. We haven't seen too much of it so far in the championship, and any team that has done it, it's a damage limitation really.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's nowhere to hide out there. You look at the Louth game. They didn't give up. They stayed at it, and Armagh didn't go into a shell and conserve and hold what they had. So I think that's what the new 6 or 8 point lead is, not insurmountable anymore.
And I suppose parking the bus now, you still can only have 12 defenders back.
Yeah.
So if you have a good forward line, a guy that can take a guy on and hit that gap, he's going to bring. And Kerry are doing that now. We have guys that can pinpoint in between two players, and then you have a Kerry fell off a shoulder then as well. And then if you don't come out in a Kerry player, we'd 5 2-pointers kicked by half time, so you have to come out, so you can't sit. No, so against the good teams, I think you will be punished if you are going to sit back.
Where it's going to be shown, as we saw it against Donegal, when we are down to 14 men, when a team is down, that's when it's a game changer, and you do see maybe
that
bit of blanket defence can return then. So it just shows that discipline is so important now in the new game.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But I think Ivan, as well as the new rules, the new format, the expectation this morning for that draw.
Yeah, like, added a layer of excitement.
A number of years ago, we'd say if Kerry came out of Munster, well, this is the avenue. Now that avenue is gone.
There's no logical sense in what happened the weekend.
No,
like,
no, literally not. Yeah,
no, that way this championship began. There is no logical sense to it.
Very unpredictable, isn't it?
Can you imagine waking up above in Louth this morning, or even Westmeath? Like, a goal in the end. Galway were the better team, no question about. But a goal in the end, they won't be fearing going up to Monaghan next weekend, up to Clonus. So that's what it's about. And the more teams that are competing, the better the championship is going to be.
Yeah. While I'm on that though, John, and the one thing that I think could be looked at in the championship is your provincial winners, maybe finalists, but provincial winners, there should be some sort of a, maybe, you know, get your path into, you know, round three or something. I would expect them to go straight to a quarter final, but I think that's where the format for me falls down, in that you know,
you have no provincial winner in the quarter final.
And there you go, like, but even at that, and it shouldn't be, you should be rewarded for winning your province. And you know, Kerry were going to Cork knowing that they were going to be welcoming Donegal at Clare in 2 weeks' time. To me, I think that's what might need to change. But other than that, I think this format's been brilliant.
You could have created maybe where, based off league ranking, that we couldn't have faced Donegal, that the lower four, the provincial finalists get the they can only draw from the lower four of maybe league ranking. So you're paying maybe a Division 2 side, and then obviously then non-provincial finalists play the top four league left or remaining teams. So it's complicated enough, and I think Darla Burns has already spoken on that, and particularly how the draw was made and it kind of the devaluing of that Munster final, and knowing Donegal was coming around in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah,
and I think the other thing, Evan, a week. Do you know, I think after this weekend's games, the teams, I think, deserved a week of a break. It's a huge thing to get to the quarter final.
Yeah.
Those four teams, you know, they can come down from the high. They have 2 weeks to go. Whereas, you know, for all the teams that are out next weekend, a lot of tough games. There was no easy game. Yeah. Even Kerry's game, it was intensity right to the end.
Yeah.
I think maybe that week, it means an awful lot. We are amateur players, especially travelling. You know, can you imagine if we were going up to the Athletic Grounds next Saturday, we might have a different view on it.
Yeah, so some will argue that if you you know, that's probably the reward for winning your two games in the qualifiers, if you want to call them that, and getting straight through to the quarterfinal. That's your reward for that. But again, tough on players to have to play like that, really back to back, and as you said, high intensity games as well. A couple of more texts to get to, and we'll talk more about the draw and everything else from the weekend. As good as Kerry played in Kildare, two things I saw from the game. One was why was Robinson left so much space in the first half? I think we've covered that one already. And also, have we anyone to take a 45? Paulie took them but went short and backwards with most of them.
Yeah, that was kind of worrying, all right, Ivan, because you could see Paulie didn't want to. He kicked one. Sure. He kicked one, but the rest of them, he just didn't want to put it on the go. I think if, and that's where Shawnee shares a loss, but I think if Paulie can't kick him, we need to be ringing up our goalkeeper or someone who can kick off the ground, because
especially like, with the wind.
And yeah, and against the likes of Armaz and all these now, anything inside the halfway line on the ground is nearly a score.
Yep.
Especially against Armagh, because with the kickers they have, like,
Evening, gentlemen. Are the football quarterfinals played in Croke Park or is it at a neutral venue? Croke Park is 100% on that one. And who got man of the match Saturday? This is contentious enough because not only did we not have television coverage, we also didn't get a Saturday game programme that was promised on RT Player. We got 9 minutes of highlights on YouTube is what we got from all this. Did anyone see anyone being interviewed with a board?
Well, nominated Terrace Talk Man last year.
Our man the match really was coming from either our midfielders or Breen or Big Lake. We thought between the three of them. But I thought Sean O'Brien had an excellent game as well. But Mark was a very was close.
Six kickouts.
They have really developed into
Mark O'Shea, sorry.
Mark O'Shea was excellent.
They've really developed into a great midfield pairing. Yeah. You know, they complement each other very well and they're contesting everything, and Sean O'Brien mopped up everything. He was really outstanding.
Yeah, like, and now they have Joan Dermot off him on the wings as well. And with Armagh with a couple of injuries in their midfield at the weekend, we've four big men now in the middle that can be exploited.
Well done to Jack and the players on a great win. We should all come out now and support this wonderful team in Clare next weekend. It would be great to hear the Kerry roar from Fitzgerald Stadium. Let's get behind the boys in this difficult challenge that Armagh will bring to us. And that's from Katrina in Tralee, who's rallying the troops, and I think we'll have that crowd there nonetheless. Good evening, lads. Great to see our boys in full flow in Newbridge on Saturday. Nice. Can he appeal to Kerry supporters to show respect to Armagh in the park next Saturday evening? No booing, please. This is not our way or never was. I was ashamed the way some of our so-called supporters behaved against Donegal. And secondly, is there any way that the supporters, kids especially, will be allowed on the field at the end of the game like we saw at so many venues across the country this weekend? This may be the last chance for the young lads to get up close to their heroes. And that's from a Beaufort listener. 2 point question and we go to a break after this, but Liam, I think in fairness, we said a lot after the Donegal game that it wasn't nice, and I know there seems to have been some bit of a rivalry built up between Kerry and Donegal, and I think it was called out by a lot of people the last time. Don't personally see it happening this time, could be wrong, but it, like as I said, maybe an appeal beforehand to, you know, respect that it's going to be a class game, and that's what we want. We really want to be able to go there and enjoy it, and hopefully that no one will be subjected to that sort of behaviour from either side coming down. Might I add that as well?
Exactly, Ivan, because look, we saw what happened against Donegal, but you know, it's spilled from the pitch onto the terrace and the terrace onto the pitch. And we said it here the Monday night after the Donegal game. I just thought the way our players went out against Donegal, I thought we just forgot how we're playing football. No, we can't do that against Armagh. We just have to concentrate in our own game, go and play football. No settling of all scores, even though there probably isn't against really Armagh. No, so just go out, and I think we're in for a fantastic evening of football. Two great teams, fantastic teams, two footballing teams that'll go, like I said earlier, at 100 miles an hour up and down the field, and great players on both sets. Like, you have a repeat of the 2024 semi-final and last year's quarter-final. No, so it is going to be a humdinger, and I think, look, I don't know, the Kerry supporters, they'll go out and they'll do well for the green and gold as well.
Yeah, and the kids on the pitch one, that's an interesting one as well, because I think after the couple of games, they were trying to mine Fitzgerald Stadium for potential games, and just goes to show now that we've got a huge game against Armagh, and that the pitch will be in great nick as well, and I'm not sure the plan in place for that one just yet. I suppose you just have to wait and see on the day as well, with plenty of good vantage points to watch it from the terraces and everything throughout the game. And it should be a cracking atmosphere in Clarny next Saturday. We'll talk a bit more about all that after the break. 083 300 3300 on the text or WhatsApp, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Also, you're welcome back to the programme. So yeah, Kerry against Armagh, 4 o'clock on Saturday. We now know Liam, it's felt like an age today, refreshing social media to see when it'll be announced. Look, obviously we know Kerry's path there. Yesterday was just simply incredible watching Armagh loud, and just the way it finished. We were all kind of sitting at the edge of the couch at home saying, oh, we were watching the clock tick down. Then he took the second, the hop, and he kind of turned it. Oh, it's gone. And then last just kick in and goes into the goal. You just couldn't make it up. And that's what this championship has offered us. And it'll definitely be remembered, I think, even these games up along. Usually it's just sort of a, I wouldn't say run the mill sort of thing, but it's kind of, it ticks by and you get to Croke Park in quarterfinals and then the championship is all of a sudden over. But this year, these rounds will be remembered for the best possible reasons.
They will, like we said earlier, it made no logical sense of form and big teams versus the lower teams and all this, but it just shows that if a team goes out and it, like Louth were kind of, you could say, dead and buried really, people would have thought, and they just kept picking away the 2-pointers and just hang in there, and you never know what could happen at the end. And when it happened, I suppose, and myself and John were kind of talking nearly after the match, it was like written in the stars. We knew we were getting our man. No, we honestly knew we were getting. But I was hoping we'd get him in Clarny. I said, anyone in Clarny, but I would not be facing him heading up the road. So when he came out in this morning, we were just kind of laughing. It was written in the stars.
As predicted, yeah. Then for Jarvis to draw it out then as well, and for him to send Armagh down the road, it was all in good fun this morning. I suppose from an Armagh point of view, John, I suppose, again, reading social media, very hard to judge accounting social media, but a lot of the their supporters say anywhere but Kerry or anywhere but Clarny and all that kind of thing. But it'll be a real good battle, I think, after we saw the quarter final last year. Of course, our champions from the year previous. You're looking at two really, really good footballing teams coming to Fitzgerald Stadium, and potentially probably one of the biggest games Fitzgerald Stadium has held in a while. You think of Tyrone in, was it 2012, that was knockout. This is so close to the quarter finals. It's almost unusual for Kerry to have a game this close to going from Fitzgerald Stadium straight to Croke Park. It kind of doesn't happen. So really, really good buzz around this, and Armagh coming with that heart of that loud game as well.
Yeah, huge game in Killarney, huge game for Fitzgerald Stadium, and I suppose a few weeks ago we were talking here one night, the top three teams, we said we're Donegal, Armagh and Kerry in no particular order. Galway probably another team that would be near enough there, but you'll have one of those teams gone on Saturday evening, and that tells you the championship and the intensity and how ferocious it is this year. Armagh, Eaton Rafferty, one of the best fielders in the game, great goalie, an outfield player for the club, superb kicker. Look what happened to him yesterday afternoon. Some of the kicks that did normally, bread and butter stuff, didn't go well. That last ball in, full back was inside alongside him.
He looked dejected, to be fair.
Ball in the back of the net. And it's a lonely place to be for any keeper. You'd feel sorry for anybody, regardless. Anyone that played will feel sorry for him on that. But fantastic for Louth. But Armagh coming down now. And Kieran McGeaney, top-class manager, we know that. And there's a little bit of bite in it as well. Kieran Donahue, being involved for so long, an integral part of that management team. There's a lot of little sightings coming down here, but very positive. I don't think there's any baggage.
No.
Two of the best teams in the country on their day. Armagh will be hurting big time. And Kerry, after the last performance in Fitzgerald Stadium, they were very disappointed.
But with the record straight.
So now put the record straight.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember playing Armagh in Clarny before. But even in the league.
I think I read a league, maybe.
It must be going back a long time.
Nearly 2000 or something.
But Armagh is always, that always seems to be a league game in Tralee on a Saturday night.
Saturday night on the lights and stuff like that. I can't remember playing Armagh inside.
There you go. But hopefully we'll remember this one for the right reasons. I suppose, Andrew, you mentioned Kieran Donahue there, John, and that importance of having him now with Kerry on the right side of the touchline on Saturday. We've seen his kind of influence at the couple of games this year. He's kind of up and down the line with the encouragement and moving fellas around and everything else. How crucial will he be in kind of being formally with Armagh, like, I know things move on and everything else, but knowing a lot of those players inside out, it can only be an advantage for Kerry to have someone who was on the inside in Armagh for a couple of years.
Yeah, we've our spy for the year.
We didn't have to climb up a tree.
Yeah, we had no climbing trees. Jason McGahan as well is a Tully Saran man in Armagh. So, like, yeah, very important. And look, you can see the influence that Donny has had on the team throughout the year. And even especially now, heading into the next day, one thing I will be probably looking at is the midfield. Niall Grimley, I had forgotten, he stepped away from the panel before Christmas, and Ben Creeley is missing with an ankle injury for the
big
year
loss, yeah.
So
big
that's
loss,
a big loss. Andrew Moran didn't play yesterday, could be back for the following weekend. Will he be 100% is another question. He's a big midfielder for them too. And you look at the four lads that we have now, Mark, Sean, Joe and Dermot, the first time that they've all played and started together, that will be important. The midfield battle is so crucial now, and that's one thing I think Jack and Kieran and management will certainly be zoning in on. No doubt Armagh will be well aware of that too, and the 15 minutes last year will be probably on repeat for them throughout the week this week. And what happened, that was the kick out as well that day. Kerry's press over the last two games, that first half versus Donegal against Kildare the last day, was very similar to how we suffocated Armagh in those 15 minutes. Can we repeat that like last year's quarter final? So that's definitely going to be probably a main talking point heading into the weekend, the midfield battle.
Cape Verde will be kicking themselves as they've just missed a potential sitter for what would have been a huge upset. Still going to be an upset at the moment. They're into added time, still scoreless between Spain and Cape Verde, but they've missed an absolute, it was a cross in the header, he just didn't get enough on it at all. But ticking towards the end, we'll let you know the full time score in that one. Hi folks, Fitzgerald Stadium would want to have a better PA system for next Saturday than they did for the Donegal match. No one could understand a word being said by the PA announcer last time round. That's when Dan in Rath more. Funny enough, I remember after there was the Cork game, people were giving out about the music and the noise, and now it's kind of down to the PA system. Be interesting to see what they do in Fitzgerald Stadium for the weekend. I thought the Cork game added fierce, thought there was a great buzz to it all. You had the ladies on before and you kind of had the music and stuff, but not somebody was cup of tea.
It's Munster GAA taking it over for those games, isn't it? The Munster, it was the same last year for the Clare Munster final, and Munster GAA took it over. They had speakers on the sideline and stuff like that. So
we spoke about it, Liam and myself, on the last day. The facilities in Newbridge.
Top class.
We were in the stand. I was lucky enough, I was in with the lads in the press box, but top class facilities for both media and for supporters and for people in wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic. Really well thought out development. Entrance and exits, no problem. And, I thought that the stadium, you know, the terrace on the far side and behind the goals, it lended to a fantastic atmosphere.
Is the stand a bit small there, John?
It's a bit small, yeah.
It's 500 people, I think, they were saying.
And it was full well before the ladies game, wasn't it, Liam?
And the drinking pints beside us, the bar beside us and everything, like, that's the way
it's always important.
That's my first time at a football game.
You look to the fellas beside
us, usually the rowing match or something, and they were drinking pints of Guinness beside us.
That's always important. Hi guys, it's plain to see Central Council have no interest in the provincial championships when the draw was made before the provincial finals. That's from John in Curragh as well. Congratulations to Kerry team and management on good wins on Saturday, and continue to look to them. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann. Thanks for tuning our way below in sunny to assist as well. I'm sure the Fitzgerald Stadium stewards won't be anything like the heavy handed steward in Donegal on Saturday. Interesting talking point after the game, actually. It was desperate to see it, really. You don't like to see those things happening. But quick touch before we go to the break, John, we've forgotten to mention our neighbours so far. It took us 54 minutes. Super win by Cork up in Donegal.
Super win, and like Liam said, nobody saw that coming, to be fairness. You know, we felt that they might be kicking them, they'll go up and they'll compete, but this was a huge win. And I suppose what they did in the second half against Donegal, they didn't do in Fitzgerald Stadium, is they raised their game. Some of the two-pointers they got, the work rate and intensity. Your man Tommy Welsh, the centre-back, mm-hmm. He won a ball, dispossessed Michael Murphy, came out, and the determination, the outside of the boot for a two-pointer, 'twas worth the entrance fee to see it alone. John Cleary will be really delighted. That's a huge win for Cork. They're after getting promotion to Division 1. Now they're automatically in an All-Ireland quarter-final. That's great progress.
It brings the question up again of us not being able to see it and watching the highlights back. And Again, you know, there's talks about GAA Plus this weekend and covering the Kerry game, but I'm sure people will be much rather be in a position of giving a couple of bob to watch it than not being able to see it at all. And I know there's arguments against that as well, 100%, but I felt like we lost a lot this weekend to it not even being streamed, sort of a thing, as opposed to them being on the television. Yes, I agree. Armoured Field was brilliant. That was down to Shane Murphy's kick out. Shane Murphy, man of the match for me. Great programme. And that's from John in Castle Gregory. Thanks for the compliment. And yeah, we've mentioned Shane Murphy as well. Really, really good performance. And probably, as you said, probably his best of the year to date as well. A couple more before we go for the break. Why don't they let Shane Murphy take the freeze in 45s? And we said that already. Great show again, lads. Paul Ganey did very well. But just wondering if the main reason for starting him was because we've no recognised free taker from the right hand side with Shawnee still out. That's from Dave Buckley. Interesting
yeah.
one, yeah.
It could be, yeah, he's really. An and like a lot of people were surprised then as well when we saw Graham O'Sullivan, but that was a mark. No, people were kind of confused this morning. Why is Graham kicking a free? But it was actually a mark. So when he caught the mark, he had to kick it himself. It was in the first half.
He kicked it well as well.
He kicked it well, yeah.
Shock of the World Cup, I think, so far. Cape Verde and Pico Lopez of Shamrock Rovers have drawn with Spain. The first scoreless draw we've had in the World Cup.
They're my favourites.
No, yeah, well, it could be. It's early days. I had them in a goals competition, so that's an absolute disaster. Nil all, first nil all of the year, but well done to Pico Lopez and Cape Verde. We have to head for news at 7.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme. If you're just tuning our way, it's one of the shocks probably of the World Cup so far just happened in our programme. Probably the earliest game of the World Cup as well. Great to have one on in the background here. Spain have been held to a scoreless draw by Cape Verde in Group H of the World Cup. Really is, you know, when we come off air, we'll watch this on social media later on, but a huge shock, and well done to Pico Lopez, of course, living in Dublin, Irish family and Irish heritage, playing with Cape Verde in the World Cup, of course, playing for Shamrock Rovers back here at home. Just goes to show a League of Ireland player playing at centre back has kept one of the tournament favourites, Spain, scoreless as well. Our first nil all draw was well done to him and all in Cape Verde, and no well done to anyone who has Spain in any sort of sweepstake or, as I mentioned, goals competition or anything else. You're welcome back to the programme. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Still plenty to come from the remainder of the show. And the Kerry ladies, of course, booking a home quarter-final once again this year. 119 to 8 points, a really strong performance from the Kerry ladies in Newbridge. Is of course the curtain raiser, two games between Kerry and Kildare, which is always fantastic, and a great crowd in as well to support the Kerry ladies football team. As I said, booked their home quarter final with that victory, and delighted to actually have on the line one of the Kerry ladies footballers. That of course is Aoife Delan. Aoife, really appreciate you taking the call this evening. I hope you're keeping well and the body isn't too sore after that tough game yesterday.
No problem at all. Yeah, we're all good now. We're nice and recovered. We had yesterday off, so yeah, we're just getting back into swing things now this week.
Brilliant. Yeah, of course. Look, 4 years in a row now, I suppose Kerry have topped their championship group, which is great to secure the home quarter final. It's a huge level of, I suppose, consistency over the last couple of years. So what does that say about this group and the standards that you've set for yourselves, Aoife, inside?
Yeah, look, as you said, there's fourth home quarterfinal in a row for us. I think we've grown to appreciate how valuable that home quarterfinal is. You know, we can acknowledge that the crowds that came to us in Sac Park the last few years and got behind us in those quarterfinals were massive. And, you know, really valuable to us on the day and really got us over the line in really tight games. So, yeah, look, we do hold ourselves very high standards inside in the group. And, you know, that comes from the last few years of, thankfully, an awful lot of success. But look, we want to be the group that continues that success and upholds those standards. So, yeah, booking the home quarterfinal was a massive goal of ours. So we can take that off now and move on.
Yeah, it's nice to have those kind of individual goals throughout the year to kind of keep the progress moving along. I suppose looking at the campaign so far, I suppose apart maybe from that tough game you had against Waterford, the results, I suppose, against Tipperary and Kildare have been fairly comfortable maybe in the end, maybe not so much throughout the 60 minutes or so. Do you feel maybe that Kerry haven't been properly tested yet, or is it something you kind of find out now coming the knockout stages like that with a quarter final to come?
No, look, like that Munster final against Waterford is as tough as a test you're going to get. That Waterford team are a brilliant outfit. We knew we were going to be up against it that day. They had beaten us twice already this year. So look, that was a massive test that day, and I think you could see by the relief by us at the final whistle that we were really delighted to get over the line that day against a really tough opposition. Then I suppose, yeah, look, you could say that have Kerry been tested over the last two group games, but we can only play what's in front of us as well. And look, going back to the standards that we keep, hold ourselves to very high standards. So if we can meet our aims during 60 minutes of football, you know, we'll be happy with that.
Yeah, no, 100%. I suppose it's a home quarter final now to look forward to, which is always great. At this stage, does it matter who you draw, or are you just kind of looking at it and saying, bring on whoever wants to come down to the kingdom to face you? Is there anyone you'd like to kind of face or maybe avoid in the draw?
Not particularly. I suppose I haven't given it much thought now, to be honest with you. This week will be really about just getting the bodies right again. You know, we might get a bit of running into the legs early on while we have the advantage of the 3 weeks off. And then, look, we'll find out our opposition next Saturday. And whoever it is, look, they're coming down to Austin Stack Park, and we'll prepare for whoever it is on the day once we find out.
Yeah, obviously, as you mentioned, the three-week break is nice. Aoife, again, it's time to kind of take that kind of maybe small bit of a break from the heavy, intense training and match schedule, and then kind of come back into it with a fresh mindset when the draw is made and everything else. I presume you're looking forward to having that kind of 3 week gap between games so you can fully focus on the quarter final now and whoever he might be up against.
Yeah, do you know, it's funny, sometimes it can be easier to roll into games because I'm afraid there might be a bit of running ahead of us this week on the training ground. But look, it gives us time and space to, you know, if anything crept up niggles wise at the weekend, get those looked at. And just gives us time to, you know, come up with a game plan, execute it, you know, at training a few times, and then go and play it on Saturday in 3 weeks' time.
Emma Costello, I mean, it's been a name been mentioned all day yesterday and into today as well in different pieces I've been looking at. Outstanding again, picked up the player of the match. I suppose her story is incredible when you think about it, you know, becoming a mother, fight your way back into the panel after missing out on the 2024. I mean, how inspirational has the journey been for the group? How inspirational, I suppose, has her journey been for this group?
Oh, Emma, look, like there's not much we can say about her. She's absolutely phenomenal. She's just a machine. And like, you know, everyone can see what she does on the field and what she puts into her game and what she brings to the game and to our panel. But even just having Emma in a dressing room, Emma brings just this light, bubbly kind of atmosphere into the dressing room. The second she comes in, the whole place lights up. And that's the kind of person Emma is. So look, we were absolutely delighted when she said she was coming back into the panel after the National League this year. She was actually carrying a bit of an injury that she had to get over first, and then she was coming back, and like, what an inspiration, you know. And it's great to have Molly in and around the camp as well, you know, if training didn't go too well or a game or whatever, you know, you see little Molly's face after a game and like, sure, you could only smile at her. So look, Emma's an absolute powerhouse, and she's just been so solid for us since she came back, and yeah, she's huge.
When the younger players kind of look at Emma in the dressing room and kind of making those sacrifices and getting back into the game and coming back stronger, I suppose that can only send a good message throughout the dressing room from, I suppose, some of the older players to some of the younger players that are in there at the moment.
Oh, look, like it is only a positive message that Emma brings, and not only to within our own camp, but to girls all around the county and the country, you know, like, you know, Emma took a step away from the panel, obviously, in 2024, and they were starting a family. But look, you know, she's come back. We've won Munster Championships with her, National League titles last year and stuff like that. So, you know, she really can do it all. And that's showing the rest of us and the young girls in the county that you really, you can have it all if you're dedicated enough and if you're disciplined enough. And Emma is all of that and more.
She said in the interview on the television after that the players are all fighting for each other. And I think, you know, from watching Kerry this year and your progress, there is a real, I suppose, hunger and intensity about the team. Is that something you can feel within the group in training and when you're maybe off the field doing some team bonding and everything else? Is it something you can feel within the group at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. There's... you know, something special inside in that dressing room. And, you know, I think there's a great belief within the group that, you know, when we put our best foot forward and when we're all rowing in the same direction, we're a very hard team to beat. Now, look, you know, don't get me wrong, we also know we can be very average on any given day if we switch off. But once we're all on the same page and we can acknowledge that, it of course brings us all together the more. And the crack inside and outside the dressing room and on the field is always great. They're a great bunch of girls.
You've won the All-Ireland yourself, Aoife. I mean, when you look at this Kerry squad, what do you think it'll take for you to get over the line and win the Brendan Martin Cup this year? It's you know, it's really, really competitive, and it looks it from the outside looking in as well, with the amount of teams are kind of in with a shout of this one, and yourselves included. You know, as I said, you've kind of know what it takes to win All-Ireland, and I'm sure you believe that it's still in this squad to go on and win this All-Ireland this year as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, we all definitely believe that the Brendan Martin is well within our grasp. You know, I don't think we'd be showing up as much as we do if we didn't believe that. But we're also well aware that the championship is so competitive this year. It's so tight. But we know what it takes. We've been there. An awful lot of us have been there before. Now, we have a very new panel and an awful lot of girls haven't been there before. But like, we acknowledged in 2024 that it took the entire panel and management all rowing in the same direction. So it's going to take every single girl inside that dressing room and our group of management to drag us over the line. But look, we'll just take it one step at a time now. So all focus will be on Wednesday night and just get gearing up for a quarterfinal.
Mentioned a good bit of Emma in this chat, Aoife, but you've been flying yourself this season. I mean, we're seeing you getting up and down the pitch and spending plenty of time, I suppose, up in the forwards as well. Are you kind of enjoying the freedom that you have at the moment, or is it maybe something that the management have encouraged you in your game as well?
Yeah, look, it is no secret that I don't often get up the field or on the score sheet for that matter. But I really, really enjoying playing in the wing back position at the moment. I think with every game comes a little bit more confidence. You know, I'm kind of getting used to the role now. And yeah, I suppose during the National League, you know, I might have been in the corner for a couple of the games or centre back. But you know, when you're just getting more and more used to one position, it's obviously easier to adapt and stuff. So yeah, look, I'm loving my football at the moment. So long may it continue.
We'll never forget that goal in 2024, Aoife, don't worry. looking ahead to the quarterfinal, Aoife, I suppose, look, the support over the last few years have been phenomenal. Niamh is my producer sitting in the studio beside me here. Do we need to get her on the phone to call Lynch again, or can we rally the troops once more for this Kerry ladies? The home quarterfinal is such, it's always a great buzz, and it always brings a great buzz to town here as well. There's always a big crowd in, and I'm sure you'll be calling for all that support to come back again.
Yeah, 100%. As I said earlier, you know, it was a massive target of ours was to get the home quarterfinal, and now that we've secured it, we would hope to you know, get as many bodies into Austin Stack Park just to drag us over the line, because it's been huge for us the last few years. And you know, I think in the we've had two doubleheaders now already this year, and the support that has been at both was brilliant to see. Like, it wasn't just a case of people coming in the last 10 minutes. You know, people were there from massive crowds from the very start of our game. And, you know, I think the more people watch us play and see us play, you know, they can see that we're playing a nice style of football. And you know, it's good to watch. And when we're winning, of course, it's we're a great team to follow. So, look, we'd really encourage people to get into the quarterfinal, yeah, in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, it is important, you know, to have that kind of support and the voices and to be heard, because, you know, it is great to have that kind of backing, and we know how, you know, good the Kerry supporters are, no matter what the sport is in this county. So I'm sure that, you know, that sort of noise and the cheering and everything else, that's huge, and it does translate down from the stands and terraces down onto the pitch as well. And I'm sure it kind of gives you that boost to maybe give that extra, you know, 5% into the speed of your run, maybe to get the ball ahead of someone else, because you know that there's someone, you know, cheering for you from the sidelines as well.
100%, like, you know, those crowds, and you sometimes I think the spectators don't really realize how valuable they are to a team, but you know, every cheer and, you know, applause that goes on could be worth a block down or a point or, you know, an extra score that might win the game and stuff like that. Like, it's huge. So, you know, we've now done enough to get the home quarter final. We'd be hoping that you know, the clubs around Kerry will come out and show us the support to get us over the line.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm sure they will. And like that, if not, Niamh can pen together another great song. We've enjoyed a couple of songs over the last couple of years. I'm sure
she's brilliant.
Her musical genius will come out again for you. Aoife, look, thanks so much for taking the time out. Hopefully Mark doesn't put you doing too much running on Wednesday evening, and look, best of luck in the build up over the next couple of weeks.
Thanks a million, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, pleasure. Aoife Deland there, of course, wearing number 7 yesterday for the Kingdom, a real integral part. Joe, I was going to go to a break, but I want to just come in on you, chatting on Aoife there. You know, phenomenal footballer, and you know, you can even see by her attitude there. This Kerry ladies team hasn't gone away for this year.
Yeah, isn't it so refreshing to hear a player come on? You know, yeah. Kerry, and just talk as freely.
And honestly as well, honestly, to be totally honest.
Yeah. And what I liked about her conversation there was the keeping the standards high, you know, and I think that's something going across the board for men's and ladies football in Kerry. We like to keep our standards high, and you know, and there's a bit of pressure on people that put on the green and gold jersey, mm-hmm. because they want to keep the standards high, and I think that's what makes us good, makes us great down here. Not good, but makes us great down here. And when you have the likes of Aoife and Emma Costa and all these girls on the field, you know, she's having a fantastic season. You know, mm-hmm. even through the league when things weren't going well, she was always one of the girls that were, you know, coming to the fore. So yeah, fair play to her. But that was a lovely interview.
Yeah, no, in fairness, and great for her to take the time out. I know it's a couple of weeks away from the quarter final, but nonetheless, be able to chat to someone like that so openly, honestly, it's very much appreciated. Lads, we have to take a quick break, and what we'll do when we come back, we'll dissect the Kerry ladies game a small bit and finish up on the football action for this evening. But don't go anywhere, you're listening to Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, and yeah, just chatting about the ladies game there, and obviously thanks to Aoife Deland for coming on. As a game itself, Liam, not a huge contest, but I don't think Mark Burke will complain too much. You kind of had that game, went up, won it fairly handily, to be totally honest. Now you've got a 3-week break, so a huge high intensity game where you might have picked up a couple of injuries mightn't have necessarily suited Kerry, but 2 wins from 2 into the home quarter final, couldn't ask for much more.
No, and to be fair, from the word go, from the offset, you know, they went at their business very well. I thought defensively very strong. Marianne Bulger in goals, obviously, is, you know, it's amazing. You know, she's the only ladies footballer that puts it on the tee for the kickouts, mm-hmm. and she just pinpoints the kickout, you know. And like, when you have girls the likes of Emma Costello, Anna Galvin, and Mary O'Connell around the middle of the field, you know, we were on about our men's, our big men across the middle of the field, these ladies were catching the ball just as good, you know, in mm-hmm. that game. Defensively, very well structured, you know. And I think our launch pad is Aisling O'Connell, Emma Costello, and Aoife Deland at the moment. In the last number of games, you know, everything is starting from our half back line. No, Aisling and Emma scored the weekend. Aoife was scored in the last number of games as well. But they're really driving Kerry forward out of defence. And then around the middle of the field, when you have like Anna Galvin and Mary O'Connell and Niamh Carmody, the two Niamhs, it was like someone says, like the two Johnnies, no, but the two Niamhs around. But getting back to the two Niamhs, I thought the score of the game for me was, I don't know which one of them went over to the sideline and they just kept the ball in. And next thing, Niamh Conacour, I think it was Niamh Conacour that came on it then, but it was Aisling O'Connell made a run nearly from the halfway line, she just took off and she received the ball off the shoulder and she punched the ball over the bar. You know, just to see them, you know, their patterns of play, you could see the Kerry ladies have worked on in training. And of course, with Jaden, Lucy, Danielle and Schieffer inside as well, playing very well. No, it's just like something has clicked since the Cork match, since that victory inside in Killarney. You know, everything has kind of fallen into place. We're putting pressure up high on defences coming out with the ball. We're strong around the middle. Defensively, we're very solid. Obviously, we're going to have bigger tasks ahead. No, it's great now that they have a couple of weeks, and I've no doubt in the next, and you could hear from Aoife's voice there, in the next week or so, they will have a hard block of training, without a doubt, just to get that fitness up, maybe another notch or two, and then a home quarter final, which hopefully will be, there'll be a big Kerry support, and maybe looking at down along the line in an All-Ireland semi-final. And Ivan, you just never know what could happen, because the girls are in good form, they're playing well, and the bench as well is coming off, and it's not usually you could run a bench and it'll slow down things, or the game can die a small bit. Not with the girls that are coming on now in the last number of games. They're keeping the tempo up.
Yeah, great to see Danielle O'Leary back firing as well, John. She's another key player up in that full forward line. We know Schieffer over this year so far has been there, but see Danielle chip in. I think it was 1-3 she chipped in with on Saturday. Another vital player to have fit for this Kerry side throughout the remainder of this campaign.
Yeah, no doubt, Ivan. Great experience by Danielle, making space inside. The full forward line was potent all through. You know, Jaden Lucy kicked two great points in the first half. Schieffer was always available. And, you know, they were unlucky a few times. There was goal chances on, or half chances. But they didn't drop the heads. They kept working. Niamh Carmody, I thought, a wing forward. Her work rate and linking between half-back line and midfield was outstanding. It was brilliant.
Keeve Evans as well.
And Emma Costello was in a different level, really. Like, she just glided through. A powerhouse. You know, she was orchestrating what was happening out there. But they were in total control. You know, Kildare weren't allowed into the game. And they show their experience, Kerry, their movement, their work rate, and the level of fitness they've had. And, you know, Mark Burke said a few times in his interviews after the league games, you know, there was chances on going through to fist it over the bar. They did that the last day. You know, obviously, this is coming from the training ground, and they're on the upper curve, and great confidence, and the home game in the quarter final. You know, I suppose as well as that, the big Kerry crowd that were in early, Liam.
Yeah.
We had remarked it ourselves. Mm. You know, when the girls came out, there was a great response, and the team, you know, the players bought into it, and the supporters responded. So it was brilliant.
Yeah, just to show how vital it is to have the two games. We've argued about minor and everything else, but isn't it great for the ladies? That's the second doubleheader they've had this year as well. Brilliant to see the support there for them. I suppose Aoife mentioned this. It's a funny one when you're playing so many games. And John, we were talking about that earlier on, about Kerry with the game to game to game and not a huge amount of break. And it's funny now, Liam, talking to Aoife there. She said that, you know, it's a long time away, and they nearly prefer when the games are kind of week on week, or maybe every 2 weeks. It is a long kind of period of downtime. But you have to remember, some clubs or some counties are playing this weekend coming in the final games in their group, and then that gives them the 1 week break before the quarter final. But still nice at this stage of the championship to have, you know, near enough to 3 weeks off before you go into a quarter final. Gets time to get the bodies right, fully kind of work on things in training that you mightn't get to normally when there's games, you know, on a constant week to week basis.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, all of us sitting around the table here, we'd always love a game every weekend. Mm-hmm. Because obviously your training during the week won't be as hard. None of us liked the month and back in our day. It was nearly a month or two before you could have a couple of weeks of serious training. But yeah, look, it's great for the Kerry ladies, because at the moment now they can recover with any injuries that they have in the next week or so, and they can also sit back and watch what's ahead of them for a quarter final. You know, so I think Mark and the management team now will be very happy with where they are. Hopefully, you know, like I said, it'll be stepping up. You know, the intensity, the teams will probably be getting better. But at the way the Kerry girls are playing now in the last number of games, like Aoife said herself, the Waterford game is the hardest game as you'll ever come across. Mm-hmm. With the heat, and Waterford would be a top team as well. You know, but I just have just an ex beside her here, Eilish Lynch as well. Like, Eilish Lynch, we've mentioned her because she was on a girl called Aoife Rattigan, who scored 1-7 in the league. Now, she held her to 2 points in play. No, so yeah. Which was when you have players like that, and Roisin Riley in the other corner, she went up and kicked the point. She was everywhere. You know, she got ball around the middle of the field. She was above in the forwards. You know, she's a dynamo. And then you have players like Deirdre Carney that just hold and do their job. So there's so many different types of players built into that squad. You know, and they've all different capabilities. You know, Anna Galvin around the middle of the field, she's just a machine. You know, she never stops battling, running. She runs herself into the ground. And Mary O'Connell as well. Like, you know, they're an ideal partnership in the middle of the field, because you have one runner and Mary will hold. But Mary seems, I don't know, she tracks the ball so much, it just seems to come to her. And you know, every time she has the ball, she does something right with it. You know, and she came in with a point as well the weekend. You know, so all things good now for Kerry, and I think everyone will be very happy with this going into the 3 week break now.
Yeah, and it's funny how things change, John, because maybe the mindsets or whatever else, we kind of look through the league campaign. It was tough for Kerry, it was. We were looking back at the games kind of week on week, and then they had to face Kildare in the last game to avoid relegation. Then you come into Munster, and you know, you've come through there winning Munster. Now you have the two wins here. It's amazing what a bit of momentum does for a team, and the confidence and everything else. And chatting to Aoife there, they sound very, very confident going to a quarter final. It sounds like the morale is really high in that group as well. And again, they have 3 weeks working hard, and it seems that they're motivated. They go back into training this weekend. They, you know, they go in and play a game the weekend if they had to. This team just seems to be kind of on somewhat of a crest of a wave, which is great. And that kind of in 3 weeks' time, that you'd imagine they'd be fully ready to go into the All Ireland series, two wins from an All Ireland final.
Yeah, even I thought her interview was excellent, but the group, the players and the management, very important, you know, pulling in the one direction. She emphasised that. That was it's refreshing to hear a player coming on speaking like that, you know, and you get an insight into what's happening. But, you know, the win against Kildare to keep Division 1 status was crucial, and then they kicked on.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the confidence the last day. They had time on the ball. That confidence is going through the team. 115, I think, from play, like, 119 altogether, you know, and you know, players came on, there was players rested, and it's very important to keep the group going. And you know, there's experience there, and like Liam said, there was one instance with Roisin Rahilly towards the end, a dangerous ball in, she shielded her the Kildare player, won the ball herself and turned and took it on, and there was somebody available, and that was right throughout the team. There was someone available all the time, there was someone on the shoulder, and most of the time the right option was taken, and the launch pad was their half back line, you know, Aisling O'Connell and Emma and Aoife, they were outstanding and they kicked on. But the space inside and the movement of the forwards, the scores, they looked easy from the sideline, but it was because of the runs. They were well worked, and because of the runs that were made, the player in possession had plenty of time on the ball to kick it over the bar.
And even if you go back even to their league campaign, they were never too far away. You know, for me, it was kind of, a lot of it was decision making. We always knew the fitness was going to get better throughout the campaign, but it was that little bit of decision, bar the Cork match really, where we got a bit of a dusting. All right, every other match it was just like above an Armagh, for instance, we had great goal opportunities up there that day.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of maybe just punching it over the bar and getting, as a great believer, keep the scoreboard ticking over.
Yeah.
No, there were saves. Next day, Armagh go down and get a score, the opposition, whoever. And that seemed to happen for the few games that we were under pressure with. But whatever, since the Cork match, no, our decision making has been very, very good, even up front. No, we punched 3 points now over the bar again the weekend. It's just to know if you're up 4 points, that punch point makes you 5. You know, it just keeps it going and keeps the belief going. Like this, and like John did say, and I had kind of forgotten about our first three attacks were 3 goal chances. You know, we missed the first two. Then Emma Costello kicked the you could say our first score, and we were kind of saying, here we go again. You know, you need to take them opportunities,
mm-hmm.
and you need to make the right decision. And at the moment, these Kerry girls are doing that. They're doing the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, which is great to see as well. I suppose Dublin, Kerry and Galway have all now booked their home quarterfinals, which is great. Cork, a surprising win against Waterford as well. So this championship wide open. We've mentioned a couple of names already that, you know, it is a wide open championship, and there's a couple of teams around Kerry that you'd say have a good chance. You know, you even see Cork like coming from the depths to beat Waterford like that the weekend as well, Liam. It's been as good in the ladies championship as the men's this year, which is great, and it's a good advocate for football, and the new rules of course introduced with the ladies as well. It's just you know, there's a good buzz around the game of football, be it men's or ladies at the moment, which is great as well for the game we love so much down
it
here.
It is, and I suppose it should show us on a given day any team can beat anyone, whether it's men's or ladies football. And also Munster ladies football is competitive down here, like yeah. Waterford, Cork, no, Tipperary yeah. are coming, they're starting to build and you know, throw ourselves in there as well. So we've been well tested, well road tested, so you'll be hoping that we can bring all that on the big day now, the quarter final, and please God, maybe final, semi final, and final, that all these learnings that you've picked up throughout the year will come to the fore and drive you on.
Yeah, and like, there's a chance then the Waterford could get knocked out by Armagh as well. So just goes to show how
our Waterford could beat Armagh.
It's wide open, you just say. Lads, we'll just go back to the men's before we let you go. I suppose, look, a couple of more in here as well. How fair is Barry Dan? He was number 26 for the Donegal game. I think, John, that's a lot down to kind of a panel of 26. I know there's a lot of injuries, but we still have a big panel, don't we? So there's some going to miss out, unfortunately, and that's just the joys of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, and Barry Dan's great to see him back in contention. Wasn't on the 26, and you know there's fair competition there, Ivan. And you look at Shawnee Shane, Tom Sullivan, Shane Ryan, yeah. add them into the mix. Mm-hmm.
So which means that there's another two or three that would have to
exactly.
go
exactly. So that'll tell you how competitive it is. That's very good inside in training, because every fella's trying to keep the jersey, whether it's on the 15 or on the 26.
Yeah, because even your 15 versus 15 game, four of those can travel with you. So just goes to show. Statsman Andrew's still here. Our texter's wondering how many 2-pointers did Kerry get against Kildare. Have we written down that's somewhere?
We were. Did we get four, I believe?
Four. Reno Big Lee got one. Joe Connor got one. Paddy Clifford and Dylan Gainey.
Another one then. I cannot believe the game is only on GA Plus. What a joke. Well, it's not just on GA Plus. We'll have live coverage here with Tim and Ambrose, of course. McGetta gets Kia sponsoring that one. Always great to have the full live commentary and free, if I might add that as well. Dublin Donegal game is on RT on Sunday. Best luck to the Kerry players. Again, I suppose we had that little argument a little earlier on that would you rather have paid to watch Kerry against Kildare than not be able to see it at all? You know, it's everyone to their own. Fully get the fact that everyone wanted it on free tier all the time as well. I suppose that's before we finish up. Look, it's a huge game, Liam, on Saturday. And look, again, do or die sort of attitude. Again, that game against Kildare, you'll imagine it will stand to Kerry after the Donegal game. And as John mentioned earlier on, wanting to right those wrongs in Fitzgerald Stadium. But this one will be on a knife edge, you'd imagine, for the majority, will it?
Well, Ivan, this is a huge step up now from the Kildare game. Now this is going to be 100 miles an hour. Everyone will have to bring their A game. This is do or die now. If you lose, you're sitting down for the rest of the summer. No, we can be on about county league matches and East Kerry championships and now county championships then for the rest of the year. But no, I think Kerry are coming in a good place. We're after a win the weekend. You said it earlier. Are going to come hurting. That's the thing I fear. All right, they're going to come hurting. They have an injury crisis as well themselves. Like Andrew said, there's a lot of big players missing as well for them. But look, they're going to come down and they're going to say, look, we've nothing to lose. We're playing the All-Ireland champions in their own backyard. And Killarney will suit them as well. Big open field. They'll bring a big support. You know, so I think we're going to be in for a right humdinger here.
Yeah, it's probably the draw that you didn't want, but you kind of do want as well, John, because you have to test yourself against the best. And you're at that stage of the competition. And again, the format has changed it to where, you know, you think back to quarterfinals of years gone by and you're there maybe, you know, got through a Super 8s group or whatever else the format might have been, and even in a quarterfinal you felt Kerry were somewhat comfortable, but now, like, you know, you're going to be rightly tested if you do come through this Armagh game, go into a quarterfinal. It'll be one of the biggest tests you'll have had, you know, throughout, obviously with Donegal earlier on in the campaign as well. So if you want match sharpness, it's going to come from a game against Armagh going into a quarterfinal, isn't it?
No doubt, Ivan. Whoever wins this are going to be going into a quarterfinal in great shape. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's a game that maybe Kerry, the supporters might say not at this time, but I think Jack's body language after, he's quite happy where he's at. Of course, if you had Shawnee and Tom and Shane, it would be brilliant. But, you know, we're in a far better position injury-wise than we were a month or 5 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Armagh will be hurting, but, you know, we have the footballers. It has the ingredients of being a cracker. You know, we were badly caught with some of our predictions during the weekend. Who would predict this one again? It is very easy to say here tonight Kerry will win. But can we say with conviction that they'll win? We cannot. This is going to be a thriller. And it's going to be a shootout. And, you know, Armagh have a few lads come in, the likes of Keane McConville, Dan McMullen, that weren't there last year. Jarley O'Burns is playing the football of his career.
It'll be interesting. Will he start O'Neill, Grugan and Faulkner? Exactly. You know?
There's so many there.
Which was the starter for them all the time, and now he's exactly clicking into that 15.
That's right, yeah.
What'll he do with the keeper? Does he keep with Rafferty?
Yeah.
Was it due to an injury that he came in, or was it tactical?
Yeah, it's all, and that's one of the joys of the sport, that we don't get some sort of a bulletin during the week of how everyone's doing. It's all kept kind of close and dagger stuff until Thursday evening or whenever the teams come out. And even at that, it's not a fully fledged guarantee of who's going to be playing. Andrew, just very, very quickly, we mentioned the other games, of course. That's 4 o'clock in Fitzgerald Stadium. Mayo Meath is coming up then after that. That's another tough one to call, isn't it? Again, they're all kind of tough to call.
But that's the sleeper of the weekend, I'd say, in terms of that could be an absolute cracker. Two teams there now, especially like we all look back to the 96, the famous Shamazzle before half time.
The clip was actually going around today of the review, the 4 minute review of it.
Fantastic. Oh no, but I think the GAA couldn't have actually made a better draw. Like Dublin, Donegal, Mayo, Meath, of course, and us and Kerry and Armagh. But I have some crackers to look forward to next weekend. Be a great weekend for the neutral to sit down, or for the four qualified teams for the quarterfinal to sit back and watch the rest of the team go hell for leather for the following week. That's probably one thing I will worry about. Even, do you remember our final league match against Armagh? That was grueling. That took a lot out of them. And I think it was Jack who said it after the league final, that we Donegal the following week, 7 days later, and you could see it, that we were caught.
Yeah.
That was a tough game to come back from a week later and to face Donegal in the league final. That's what maybe I'd worry about if we do end up winning next Saturday evening in Fitzgerald Stadium. What do we have waiting for us in the long grass in Croke Park? But never good to look past Armagh, and that would be a huge challenge.
But you're definitely right. It is a one for concern that you've only got the week gap. I presume we are going to have to make the predictions. It's wrong not to at this stage. We were laughing last week. Are we going to go green and gold, hearts or head here on this one? I'm going to say Kerry anyway, but by a very, very close margin.
I think it'll be very close. I'll go with Kerry as well, because home venue is going to be and massive Kerry support, and there will be a massive Kerry support at it. Mm-hmm. Tickets are on sale tomorrow as well at Fionn Fitzgerald. Text me there, 12 o'clock tomorrow. So anyone that wants to rush out and
Get them before our Armagh supporters come down.
All the great supporters buy them out, yeah. So it will be a humdinger match. Don't be surprised if it goes to extra time. Pilties. Ambrose won like that, even though he's only down the road. But it could go an extra time, but because the league match was so tight as well, every time we played Armagh now, there's always been something to water the appetite. You know? So, yeah, I'm going with a Kerry win, just about.
John Kennedy.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I hesitant Kerry win, being honest with you, Ivan, because I'd worry Armagh. For me, they were a team I'd like to avoid.
The bookies had them as second favourites.
They had them second favourites.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald Stadium is an advantage, but that won't worry Armagh, because McGeaney, he's a winner. You could see he was really hurting and disappointed. They'll come down. They're a wounded animal. They'll come down. It'll be a cracking game, just about Kerry.
Andrew, in a word?
Kerry win, midfield pushing us over the line.
There we go. He had it written down and all. He was ready. Lads, thanks, Minnie. We've gone into extra time and early penalties ourselves this evening, but it was a great weekend as football, and I don't think we could have an hour or an hour and 10 minutes probably wouldn't have done it justice, but I think we've done it justice this evening. We'll see you all back here again 6 o'clock next Monday evening, hopefully looking ahead at a potential quarter final. Lads, thanks very much. We go for a break and we'll be heading to Glenfresca after we take these.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry Sport.
Now you're very welcome back to the programme. Now the Flesk Fest returns to Glenflesk GA Club this weekend, starting on Thursday, running through till Sunday. Always a really fantastic weekend in Glenflesk and for the parish and everything else. Delighted to be joined on the line by Catherine O'Sullivan. She's the chair of the Women's Club in Glenflesk, and of course Paul O'Donoghue is no stranger to everyone in Glenflesk GA as well. You're very welcome to the programme, Paul. I'll start with you, and I suppose we go straight into it. Kick off just in a couple of days' time now on Thursday the 18th. There must be a great buzz around it already.
Great buzz, Ivan. A lot of preparation gone in. We would have loved it was last weekend with the fine weather, but we're hopeful that the weather will be okay for us next weekend. So we're kicking off on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. The gates open at 7 o'clock, and the fun starts at 7:30 to 9, where we have line dancing with Bridie. Okay, and then when Bridie is finished, we're on to the Party Coffee Band from 9 to 11. Now everyone knows Party Coffee from he had a great one in Glor Tira, in Tina G, and so he's going on from 9 to 11, and we're hoping he'll draw a big crowd for the dancing. So yeah. That's the Thursday, and then we're moving on to the Friday. So Catherine might talk about that.
Yeah, so Catherine, you've got the big Mothers for Others Blitz as well going on.
On Saturday, Ivan, but just before that, we have our summer soiree on Saturday and Friday evening, hosted by your very own Brendan Fuller. So that's an evening of fashion, beauty, and cookery tips, and music with Jack Patrick. And as you said, then on Saturday, we're kicking off at 12 noon. We've actually changed the starting time to 12 noon because of the Kerry Armagh game. So 12 noon, we'll have our Mothers and Others Blitz. So we'll have 10 teams. It's always a popular event, so we're really looking forward to it again this year. That's followed then, we'll have all GA games over the weekend. We'll be live on our big screens. And Paul now might take you through the music for Saturday evening.
Yeah, you've everybody covered there, Paul, in fairness to you, between being able to watch the games live on the screen and everything else. And you said entertainment all night as well, Paul.
Oh, entertainment all night, but I think it's great on the Friday night that we're going to be teaching the women of Drifest to cook while they're looking well and drinking Prosecco. So that couldn't be better than that, Ivan, you know? That's going to be a real success.
Nothing could go wrong.
He's very brave.
Nothing could go wrong there.
Yeah.
On the Saturday all day, while the Gaelic from Mothers Blitz is grand, we're going to have local talent from 2 o'clock, okay? And they're going to play right up to, we'll say, 6 o'clock, 6:30, and then with the Burden Brothers from Galway from 7 to 9, and that would be followed by DJ Gavin from 9 to 11. So we're hoping we'll all be in great form after the Armagh game, so we'll have a victory and then we'll have a big crowd there on the Saturday night.
Fingers crossed. And then Catherine, it's all kind of family fun orientated on Sunday afternoon, which is great for the kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we start off with a sensory hour from 12:30 to 1:30, and then entertainment from kids is from 2 to 5, and again we're going to have all live GA games on screen. This year we'll have some alpacas visiting us that the kids will be able to meet.
Oh.
There's going to be fun with Macademy, and there's going to be a lot of inflatables and bouncy castles.
So the kids will be well entertained out in
Dunfermline. Absolutely, and hopefully the parents will come along and enjoy it as well.
I was just going to say, and Paul, the parents will be entertained right throughout the evening then as well, with plenty of more music, and you said the sporty events going on the big screens.
Well, yes, so the matches will be on the big screens, and when the big matches will finish, then there's going to be a tribute band for the Wolf Tones tribute band. So it'll be a great surprise. There's a guy called Derry. I won't say his second name, just thought it'd be a surprise. He'll be leading the Wolf Tones band. and then after that, we have The Rising, which are an up-and-coming local Killarney band, real brilliant, lively band, and they're going to play us out to the end of the FlesFest 2026.
Ah, yeah, no, that's fantastic. And look, I suppose, Paul, the FlesFest, we've known over the last couple of years, and to be fair, you've always come on and given us the run of this over the last couple of years. It's a fantastic kind of fundraiser for the club out in Dunflesk. We've mentioned kind of where it is in proximity to the county. It's great to have, you know, so much out that side of East Kerry. Look, it'd be remiss of us, I suppose, this evening, Paul, not to mention Ollie Favier, who we sadly lost earlier this year, and the amount of effort he put into this festival out in Dunflesk as well, and his legacy that he's leaving on it this year. As you mentioned, you know, I suppose there'll be a good celebratory feel around the festival, but I'm sure, you know, Ollie's passing is still felt by most in the club at the moment.
Well, Ivan, Ollie's passing rocked the parish, and there isn't a day go by that his friends and the community out here and think of him, you know, and think of his family, you know, and the devastation it caused. You knew Ollie, Ivan, I'm sure you did, and Ollie was a friend for everyone. Everyone was better off meeting Ollie. But I suppose in relation to FlesFest, I think it's important that we mention another lady, a lady called Martina Dineen, who was a huge supporter and a huge worker on the FlesFest, right? As every bit as much Ollie was, they were a major part of the committee for the last number of years. Martina worked tirelessly as well for FlesFest, and she will be sadly missed this year. And, you know, I suppose when you're dealing with grief and you're dealing with bereavement, the first of everything is difficult when you say, you know, it's our first time without, but this will be our first time without
in Festus without Ollie and without Martina, and the Festus would be worse for us. But look, in the midst of songs being sung and a few drinks and a bit of dancing, they will always be in our thoughts, and we'll always be thinking of them. But you know, they will always be a part of us, and yeah. That's all I can say on that. You know, it's tough to talk about it, even you know. But look, they're never going to be far away from anyone's thoughts while Festus 2026 is going on.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they've been, you know, good help to get this party kind of undergoing, and they'd hate to see it maybe finish up or something with their absence. So I'm sure looking down well on Festus this weekend. I suppose, Paul, just logistically wise, I suppose people getting out there and everything else, is it a ticketed affair, or do you kind of land up and pay on the gate? How do we go about if we want to land up for a few hours?
Catherine is my boss in the ladies' football, and she is brilliant at logistics, so I'm just going to hand you over to her now.
No bother. Catherine, the same question to you.
The weekend passes are still available at a cost of €35. They can be purchased online through any of our social media accounts, FleskFest, GlenFlesk GA or GlenFlesk LGFA. We will also have ticket sales on Wednesday night this week in the Festival Marquee below the Bardo Community Field from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And for anyone who just wants to come along at the weekend, there will be tickets on sale at each of the events just as you're going in. The beauty of buying the weekend ticket in advance, Ivan, is that it's €35. So there's a saving there for you, because each evening is €20. So you buy the €35 ticket, covers you for Thursday, Saturday and Sunday, and tickets for the soiree on Friday night are €35 as well.
Ah, brilliant. Lovely stuff. Continued success to everybody and to FleskFest. Might try to get out maybe for a day between Kerry football and everything else on this weekend. It's a busy one, but no doubt a huge one for the club outside as well. Thank you to Pod. Absolutely. And to Catherine. Really appreciate your time this evening.
Can we just say thanks to you and Radio Kerry, who have always been great to the FSG in promoting this, and that's your support to us is vital as well, and all the surrounding clubs always come to support us, so we hope that will continue. We'll have a great weekend.
Absolutely. No, absolute pleasure, Paul. Thank you very much, and to Catherine as well, and best of luck the weekend.
Thanks very much.
Catherine O'Sullivan, chair of the women's club there in Glenflesk, and one of the main men behind FleskFest, Paul O'Donoghue as well. We'll take a break and we'll be back after these on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, so almost time to say goodbye for this evening. Charles Gesson just saying that we answered his question already when he said this Kerry and Armagh could go two extra time, and that most definitely could be the case. Thanks a million to everyone, to Liam and John and Andrew for covering Kerry against Kildare. Eva Delane, of course, who took the call from the Kerry ladies camp, and best of luck to everybody with FleskFest this weekend. It's hard to say, and you could say something that you shouldn't be saying at all, but best of luck to everyone in Glenflesk this weekend. And I think we'll leave you on this one, and we're a messy about Pico Lopez playing Kerry FC and playing in the World Cup. Well, I've just got a text saying Kerry FC scored more against Pico Lopez than the Spaniards have at the World Cup. Maybe a small bit of a different level, but one we can say here in the Kingdom as well. We'll be back next Monday night with plenty from Kerry against Armagh. Mary Conroy is up next. And thanks very much to Niamh, who produced the programme this evening. We'll do it all next Monday evening from 6 to 8, Lacoon of Day. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. Slán.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.